Amen. Beautiful promises in song and beautiful reminders of God's grace and goodness to us. The Bible says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The bottom line of what we read in Scripture is that power begins with God. And on the human side, the bottom line is that the power of God begins with prayer. And with these very words, Jesus launched his church into the world and changed the whole course of history and the story of our world. The apostles had already experienced the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in their lives in one fashion or another. They had been saved through the powerful work of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. They were led by God's Spirit. They were teaching God's Word, and miracle working power had been demonstrated for them in the presence of Christ. But they were about to receive the indwelling presence of God's Spirit, and His power would be within them from that day on to enable them to be His storytellers wherever they went and wherever they were. From this time on, those who believed to be followers of Christ and believed the good news of Jesus, repented of their sin, and turned to Christ, surrendering their lives to His control. From that time forth, wherever they went, they would go in the power of God's Holy Spirit. The promise that they had from God was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. They were never going to repeat this again. The Spirit of God had come upon them, and that Spirit would remain with them. There was no installment program or plan for them. They would receive all of the Holy Spirit they would ever have. The only question that remained with regard to that first century group of believers was whether or not they would accept and surrender themselves to the presence of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives. And folks, that's exactly where we are today in the church. Having received Jesus Christ, many of you, many of us in this room, perhaps even most of us, having received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God has come within us and we have been born from above. The only question now remaining is, how will we surrender ourselves to what God wants to do with our lives? Another way you might look at it is simply to ask yourself, is there anything in my life, or what is there in my life that can only be explained by the indwelling presence and Spirit of God? The key thought for us this morning as we look at the bottom line is that the power of God is lost when believers stop praying. For those first 50 days following the death of Jesus and His resurrection, the followers of Christ, those who had been with Him, were hidden away in places in the city of Jerusalem and the countryside around. They were frightened. They were confused. They didn't understand what had happened. They were powerless. Some of them were already making plans to going back to their lives the way they were. And then came the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. And something took place that day, as these words that we read a moment ago indicate, that changed them forever. Those confused, frightened, doubtful believers in Jesus burst out of that room where they were praying together, filled with excitement, full of passion for what they had heard and seen of Jesus, and the power of God was upon them. And from that time on in their generation, wonderful things happened. Amazing changes took place in their lives. Now, about a generation later, when that generation had gone on to be with the Lord in heaven, and the second generation of believers followed them. The Apostle John writes about the Christians who were remaining, especially those who were in Asia. And you'll find in the Revelation that those first two chapters, John goes into some detail describing this second generation. And what we see here is that the awesome power of God that was in that first generation of believers was gone. And what you have remaining are people who are unloving, compromising, some corrupt, even spiritually dead, and worst of all things, lukewarm. And John describes them. Some see in John's description of these churches in Asia a prophecy or history of the history that would remain for the church until Jesus returns to the earth again. I don't know whether you can that holds weight or not, but it certainly bears some thinking on our part, because it describes a church in whom the power of God has gone. Where has the power gone? They've become unloving. They've become compromising. Even corruption has slipped into the church. Many of those who are part of the church are dead, and many are just lukewarm. 2,000 years since that second generation of Christians, we find ourselves today here at Big Spring Baptist Church. We have our church attendance. We have our charitable giving. We have our church activities, pig roast, and all of those things, you know. Bible studies. But all of these things without believing prayer are powerless. Just motion. Powerless people, prayerless people lose their passion for the promises of God. They lose their thirst for the power that comes from above, from God, and from His Spirit within us. My question is whether or not that describes me, and whether that describes you, whether that describes our church. Are we just going through the motions? Coming to church on Sundays, giving our offerings, going home and placing our Bibles in their familiar place until next Sunday, doing it all over again the next week. Powerless Christians, prayerless Christians, compromise the church and their own witness and their own story to tell by becoming so much like the world around them that the world around them can hardly even see the difference between them. If you were, I dare say, to walk down the block on which we live, if you would ask the neighbors, our neighbors, yours, mine, who do you know on this street follows Christ? Many of them would shake their heads and say, I don't know. Maybe there is. I couldn't tell you. In our attempt to be user-friendly, we've become like the world itself. We haven't been able to separate our culture from our values and our morality. It's hard to mistake the absence of bent knees and broken hearts among us. Prayerless church members corrupt the church with sexual immorality and sins and undisciplined lifestyles like the church at Thyatira that John described there in chapters 2 of Revelation. God has perfect, intimate knowledge of our lives. He knows what is happening within our hearts. Nothing is hidden from Him. Works don't save us, but they offer proof that there has been a change in our hearts and our lives, and that the presence of God's Spirit is with us. The power of God is lost when we as believers stop praying. Dead church buildings. I haven't kept the record of this, but I've seen dead churches, the buildings where they occupied, turned into dance studios, daycares, nursing homes, just standing abandoned across the land. Like the church at Sardis, some of those churches and the members still have their names on the books, but they're dead. There's no power. Churches become filled with unredeemed, unregenerate, prayerless people who search for power in attractions. And that was the sin of Nadab and Abihu, whom God punished because they sought to offer strange fire before the Lord and not the presence and Spirit of God within them. Like the church at Laodicea, many churches become lukewarm. We don't totally reject what we hear on Sunday morning from what we read in the Scriptures, but neither are we filled with the passion and the power that we read about in that church. After this, you shall receive power, and the Spirit of God will come upon you. We're more interested in having a good time for all than we are in redeeming the time for all. We profess to belong to Christ. On the inside, we're fooling ourselves. Where has the power gone? A casual reading of this chapters 1, 2, and 3 in Revelation should waken us to the dangers of the Holy Spirit moving on and the power of God abandoning our lives, leaving us just to go through the motions and to be forgotten. What evidence can we give of what God only can do in our hearts and in our lives? Now, here and there, it's not all doom and gloom. I see glimpses and glimmers of hope among churches and people. It is a special concern to me. How many of you receive and read the Tennessee Baptist Reflector? Do you get some of you do? One or two? We really ought to get everybody on the reading list of that. Here and there, you will find churches, and even here in the state of Tennessee, where the power of God is the only explanation that you can have for what's happening in those churches. Those of you who were reading the Tennessee Baptist Reflector this past week or two, did you read about the Yellow Springs Baptist Church? Yellow Springs. 2 years ago, Yellow Springs had 90 resident members remaining. 90. What had once been a thriving church was now a small congregation, resident members. On a good Sunday, you have 50 present. And then they found a man to lead them as a pastor. He was a bivocational pastor. He couldn't give all of his time to the church, but he knew what it was needed there. And so for the next 2 years, he led the church. And during that 2 years' time, they baptized 146 people in that little church, Yellow Springs Baptist. When asked by some who saw these things happening, and you have to realize that while this is happening among the thousands of Southern Baptist congregations we do have, 9 or 10,000 Southern Baptist churches this year will not baptize anyone. Here's a little country church, little city church, baptizing 146. They asked the pastor, "How can you account for this?" He said, "I don't know, except to say that it comes from God. We started the first year together with 20 days of fasting and prayer. And we prayed and we fasted for 20 days. And then after that, every time a decision had to be made, we would fast and pray and God would bless. Came to the second year and we met together for 20 days the second year and we fasted and prayed and God blessed again." I don't know that the Lord would let you get the pastor of Yellow Springs Baptist Church as your pastor, but you ought to sure find out someone like him. When the Holy Spirit comes with power, There's no need for gimmicks. And they had special events too, but the power came from above. And the power equips the saints for the ministry of the gospel. Here's another key thought. When churches pray, the result is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Did you know that? When churches pray, now, you might rephrase that, but the way we conduct ourselves, when the churches meet, no, when the churches pray. Meetings won't bring the power of God. When churches gather, no, it's when churches pray. There were signs of this Holy Spirit's power in that first church, and I want you to look at those and so that you'll recognize when it happens, when it takes place. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, the disciples and followers of Jesus watched him as he ascended into the heavens. And then in Acts 1, verses 13 through 14, 120 of them gathered in prayer in an upper room. It may have even been the very room where Jesus had given them, his disciples, that Last Supper. And during the next 10 days, what did they do? They prayed. We only have a thumbnail sketch of what happened during those 10 days praying together, whether they were coming or going or what they were doing. We know one thing they did. Now, hold on to your seats. They drew straws or rolled dice and chose a replacement for Judas. Now, I'm not advocating that. I don't, you know, but we do know they selected someone who would replace Judas as one of the 12. But then it happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Suddenly, no announcement, they were all filled with the Spirit of God. Can you imagine something like that? Everyone in this room, almost 120, all of a sudden, filled with the presence of God. Wonderful things started to happen. Miracles began to take place. And those 120 people burst out of that upper room. They'd been so frightened and so confused and so distracted by things around them and troubles they had and worries and fears, but now they were filled with excitement. And another wondrous thing happened, a second sign of God's Spirit. Lives changed. Lives changed. When the Passover crowd saw the 120, and then they heard them, they saw them as they went out telling their story of Jesus and what he had done for them. They were so excited and so filled with God's presence that they could actually tell the story in languages they had never heard before. And that was amazing too. And those who saw those praying believers and followers come out of that upper room, they were amazed. They were amazed because some knew who these folks have been hiding out for nearly 2 months. No one's heard a word from them. No one dares say anything. They're just doing what they have to do. And now here they are boldly just sharing and telling and excited about what God is doing in their lives. And it all started in a prayer room. It all started in a prayer room. Whenever believers in Christ surrender to the presence of the Holy Spirit, begin to pray and obey the Word of God, lives are changed. Nothing's ever routine again. Scripture tells us later, the Apostle Paul writes in his second letter, chapter 5, verse 17 to the Corinthians, he said, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." People become challenged to live beyond their resources. Let me read you a description of what happened in that church. After they had prayed, the power of God came upon them. "Now all who believed
were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. You know what happened to that church? They became charismatic. That scares Baptists to death. Because people take that word and mess it up. The word charismatic simply means it comes from the word charis, which means gracious. Those folks became gracious. Full of grace, liberality, gifts. And when believers surrender to the presence of the Holy Spirit and begin to pray and trust God, the gift of God's Spirit is poured out upon us and His power is poured out like water on parched earth. You know what happened? The Bible tells us there in the last part of that second chapter of Acts. It said, but the Lord added daily to the church such as were being saved. We talk about the revival that happened 20 years ago and the one that happened last year or the one that happened last month. Every day, folks were being added to the church. They were coming to know Christ. Isn't that the kind of church you want to be a part of? Amen. Now, God has a plan for that, for the power of His Spirit to be poured out upon us. If you're filling out your little outline, God has a plan for the power of God to be poured out upon us. How do we do that? Back to that Acts that we read a moment ago, chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer. The answer is simply by faith, believing that God has called us to join our hearts together, to call upon Him through the name and the power of Jesus Christ. And be very clear about this one thing. To be filled with the Spirit and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we receive more of God's Spirit. We have all of Him we're ever going to have right now. You have all the Spirit of God that you're ever going to have. You're not trying to persuade God to give you something else that He has been holding back on you. It means that we surrender our lives to the presence of the Holy Spirit of God who has come to live within our hearts. We're filled with His presence. Now, I don't want to imply that the next two or three things I tell you are to be taken in some kind of systematic program. You do this and this happens, do this and this happens. But these things you will recognize from Scripture are things that accompany praying and trusting God for His power and His Spirit. Number one, believe that God has a gift to give to every believer in Jesus Christ, and that gift is His presence. Believe that. Believe that with all your heart. A gift that will fill your life with incredible wonder and passion, excitement and power, and you won't grow tired and weary doing the things that tell others about Him. Trust God to fill you with that His Spirit. You have believed Him. You trust Him. Take the little penny and just simply remind yourself, in God I trust. In God I trust. And then turn to Him in prayer. Talk to God. Ask God to fill you with His presence. Jesus told those disciples, go into Jerusalem and wait there until the power of God's Spirit comes upon you. So they met together, they prayed, they waited. Lord, we're waiting, and Lord, we ask to receive from You. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says we're to pray that we will be filled with the Spirit of God. When's the last time you asked God, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit this morning. Fill me with your presence this morning, Lord. Fill me with your wisdom, your knowledge, your power, and your glory.
I heard about a Baptist church. This must have been a few years back when it happened because it still had an organ. Most churches don't have an organ anymore, you know. But blessed are those who have them and have somebody who can play one, you know. But anyway, in this Baptist in this church, one morning, right in the middle of a song service, the organ, the power went out on the organ. And the organist didn't know what to do. But the pastor knew just what needed to be done. He said to the congregation, "Let's pause now, and I'm going to read some scripture, and then we're going to have prayer." And while he was reading the scripture and when he was praying, one of the ushers slipped up to the organist and had a note and handed it to her and said, "When the prayer is finished, the power will be back on." You know what? When prayer has been made, the power will be back on. At Big Spring, in your life, in my life, when we pray. And Scripture says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want to caution you, the Spirit of God and the power of God is not given to us so that we can sit and soak. If we try to do that, we will sour. For the gift of God is given to us that we may tell the story. Dr. R.A. Torrey was a great teacher of the Bible. He said, "I have gone through my Bible time and time again, checking the subject, and I make this statement without any apology or slightest fear of contradiction. There is not one Old or New Testament passage where the filling of the Holy Spirit is spoken of, where it's not connected to serving and testimony of serving the Lord." When we pray for God's power, it is to tell the story and to experience the glory of the Lord. I want to close with this statement by the prophet Micah from the Old Testament to try to draw this whole thought back together for where you and I are right now. Micah 3:8, it says, the prophet speaking, he says, "Truly, truthfully, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." Let that sink in. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And my question this morning for you and for me is simply this: if not, why not? If not, when? And if not, why not now? Why not now? We have so many opportunities to demonstrate this. Tonight, the Lord willing, there will be numbers of people from this community who will join us in our next worship hour over in the gym area. The sermon won't be so long. The music will be exciting and powerful, I'm sure. But you pray for opportunities to share the joy of Jesus and reflect upon that when you come to that meeting. If not, why not? A simple prayer, that's what it takes for believers. These were believers who were in that upper room, people who already knew the saving grace of God, and so it was for them that they would receive the power of God, which came to us when we believed, and it changed their lives. And if it hasn't changed our lives, then why not? We need to do something about it now. And then if you're a person who said, "I never knew of such a thing. I never knew that God's Spirit could do that, could change my life. I've been trying to whip these habits and these sinful things in my life all my life, and I've never been able to do that." You mean that God can do that for me? Yes. And more. How do I do that? When Jesus met people, he would... I see him as he simply said to people, "Come. Come, follow me, follow me." In Jesus' name, I say to you today, come, follow
me. Follow Jesus. Follow Him where He leads you. In a moment when we pray, you can ask Him that very thing. Lord, change my life. Come into my heart. Take control of my life. My life's a mess. I don't know where I'm going or where I will end up. I want to be with You. Come into my heart and change my life. In Jesus' name I pray. If you pray that prayer, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, will have that confidence, assurance, and direction in your life from this time forth and forevermore. Would you join me as we pray, prepare our hearts to worship through a time of invitation? I'll invite you to come and stand with me in a moment after you've prayed that prayer. Christians coming in prayer, asking God for the power to be renewed in your own life or restored, you come. May God bless as we do so. Father, thank You for Your word that reminds us and draws us back to where we came from and who we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray today that Your Holy Spirit would take hold of our hearts and our lives, my heart and my life, Lord. Cleanse our hearts through the shed blood of Jesus. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. May the power of Your presence be in us and upon us and about us from this day on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand and sing with us a moment while we do? If you would, take this opportunity to come and share the decision you've made today to follow Christ in your life.
Come just as you are. Come and see, come receive.